Let's go to Psalm 15. God is good all the time. Now, I believe that we're going to get a powerful witness tonight. Psalm 15. Would you read it with me? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, who works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved, shall not be moved. In other words, these are areas where God is saying, listen, this is going to help you stay and stand in faith. Amen? We've been talking a lot about faith. But I want you to understand something. There are promises of the Lord. Amen? The Bible says that God has promises for us, doesn't he? But before any promise is released, there's always testing. So there's testing before the promise. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because some of this testing, you don't even realize you're in testing. Hello? You have no idea sometimes. You think that you don't know sometimes whether you're fighting against God or you're fighting against the devil. You're wondering, what's up, Lord? Where you been? On vacation? I don't get this. You know, let me tell you something. Some of your greatest moments with God will bring some of your greatest downfalls the next day. Hello? You know why?
Test. Testing. Testing.
I mean, one day you can hear him clear as a bell. The next day you can't hear nothing. You don't know where he is. I mean, you think you're the only person left on the planet. You're doing everything right. You're checking everything out. Let's see, tithe this, pray, intercede, cast out, cast down, cast around, didn't move. I mean, you're going through your checklist like a pilot. And you just don't get it. It's because he's getting ready to fulfill a promise. Psalm 46. You know, we as sometimes have a tendency to calculate. We're so formalized. Let's see, this must be the formula. You know, we go back all over all of them. These are 7 steps, 6 steps, 8 steps, 9 steps. You know, let's see if we do this, we do that, we do that. Yes, that's got to happen. Why isn't it happening? You know, we try to figure out a formula, recalculate it, redo this. Wait a minute, then we try to come up with another one. Well, if that one's not, then this one must work. We fast, we pray. We die, we do this, we do that. We're doing everything we can, we think we are. Until we finally realize we're the ones that are doing everything we can. I mean, I've been sweating these bullets for nothing. Sometimes. Sometimes you have. In Psalm 46, 46, yes, that's what I said. Would you all read it with me? Start at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Say that again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Wow. Man, you're doing, I'm telling you, you're going for it, right? You're just going, great prayer. Yes. Great confessions. You're making your confessions. Man, it's a powerful prayer right here. Man, you're making your confessions. You're doing great prayer, great confessions. Great hope. Yes. Great hope. Great faith. Yeah, I'm moving in faith now. Then great God, where are you? Great God, where are you? Come on, I had great prayer today. I had great confessions. I had great intercession. And then great God, where are you? Testing. Testing number one. Testing number two. Welcome to the valley of death. But I just don't understand it. Absolutely. There you go, trying to figure it out. You won't make it to the other side. You'll try to build a dam to get across the river. You'll try to build a boat to row. You'll try to figure it all out. And he says, you ain't crossing except for on dry land. Nobody crosses over unless you're on dry land. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus 14. See, the dry land is a test before the promise. Exodus 14. Exodus 14 and verse 13. Glory to God. Now the Lord just made a way of escape for Israel to come out of Egypt, which is the world. In verse 13 it says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Man, was he making confession or what? He was decreeing, wasn't he? The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Now, wait a minute. He just made all his confession. Yes, it's going to happen. And then he went to cry to the Lord. The Lord said, why are you crying to me? You're the one just made decree. What are you crying to me for? He says, now, look it. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Don't cry to me. You made your confessions. You decreed. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. Now tell them to go forward. Oh. See, we have a tendency to stop, try and figure out. I'm going to go over our checklist again. Let's see. And sometimes we have a tendency to back up. Uh-oh. This don't feel right. Uh-oh. His presence not here. Uh-oh. That's uh-oh. It's associated with fear. Uh-oh. I just touched fear. What's he doing? The enemy's preventing you from what? Going forward. Why? See, God just tested you. What are you relying on? Feelings? Can't you take my word for it? Can't you trust me? Where's your faith? Oh. And then he says in verse 16, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. How are they going to go? On dry ground. That's time of testing. Death Valley. I think there used to be what was it called? Big Valley. Call it Death Valley. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen? And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all the night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into what? Dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Now check this out. Look what Daddy did. He took off their chariot wheels. What'd he do? He took off their wheels, man. They were getting too far. Did you ever see those commercials where a car goes into this place and the dude goes in and go tell somebody, "Yeah, man, I got a car for to sell to you." Brings them out there and it's been stripped. All the wheels are gone. You ain't getting too far. If Daddy takes off your wheels, you're not going nowhere. So the Lord stripped this car. He took off the chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty, I bet. In other words, he slowed them down, didn't he? And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Even they recognize it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Does everybody see that? Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Then the waters... But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. The people did what? They feared and believed. Praise God, they were going on the promised land. What were they doing? They had to go through dry land to get to the promised land. The dry land is the testing. Then they went into the wilderness, didn't they? So they were still on dry land. You know what brought them back into dry land? They're grumbling and complaining. You know why? Because they didn't believe. They lost it. It was taken from them. They didn't stand. They began to grumble and complain and say, "Why didn't we just hang out where I'd rather have died with a fat stomach than with..." Hello? "Than starving when I didn't starve." They didn't starve at all, did they? Everything was supplied to them. But see, they were getting tested to get to the promise. But they didn't make it, did they? Oh, hallelujah. They didn't fear the Lord, nor remembered too long, did they? Go to Matthew 17. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? You're quick tonight. Testing before the promise. But Lord, you promised. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. Glory to God. Is everybody there? In verses 1 through, I guess, 8. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. That kind of sounds funny. Hey, it's good for us to be here. His knees are probably knocking, you know. This is going to be crazy. He was trying to get it and grasp it. I mean, there was Jesus transfiguring himself, and Moses and Elijah showed up. Most people would have fainted. But Peter fought. You don't think he was grasping for breath? Pinching himself? Hello? And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish. In other words, if you want me to boogie, I'll leave. Let us make here 3 tabernacles. Man, I'll tell you, Peter was ready to build. Okay, I'm with you, Lord, all the way, no matter what. I know it's you now. I really got the revelation here. This is intense, man. There's Moses and Elijah. We've been talking about Moses and Elijah. Oh, and then they show up with Jesus. Man, what's going on here? Yeah, we'll build. We'll run. We'll stay. Whatever you want us to do, Lord. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Well, that did it. That did it. That topped it all off for them. Those guys are all like, I mean, it took Jesus. Look at the next verse. Jesus had to recover them. But Jesus came and touched him and said, Arise and do not be afraid. Easy now, guys. Easy. When they had lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Oh, God, I'm glad it's over. What a revelation. What an impartation. You're not going to believe this. We saw Jesus transfigured and Moses and Elijah showed up. We were ready to build tabernacles. I want to go around and tell everybody what I saw. And Jesus said, don't tell nobody. Say what? Don't tell nobody. Very interesting. Now, these guys just had a mountaintop experience. Blew their minds. They were ready. They saw something powerful. They knew they were called by God. They were getting ready to start a healing evangelist. Oh, man, I'm telling you, they were going out to build boats and send missionaries to the world. They were getting ready to do everything God wanted them to do. What a revelation! Okay. Go to verse 15. Is everybody there? And a man came and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. Wait a minute. We just had this powerful revelation. What's going on here? Come on, we saw God change. We saw Moses and Elijah. I know he called us to a healing ministry. I know he told us to cast out devils. I know it. And why wouldn't this one leave? I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. Jesus answered, Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long should I bear with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. The what? The demon. And it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Wait a minute, why couldn't we cast it out? We did it before. And he said, Because of your unbelief. See, they got too caught up in the vision. Does everybody understand that? You know how many people get caught up in the vision instead of the relationship? See, they come down from this mountaintop experience and they begin to chase the vision. And sometimes they're walking away from God instead of walking with him. Yes, I had a revelation, visitation, impartation. I'm ready to go. You going by yourself. Because God isn't going to fulfill his promise until you're tested. Somebody got it? Good. Go to 2 Kings 2. All the great men and women of God are tested before the promise. Every believer is tested before the promise. Everyone. Is there any way to bypass this test? No. And you can't cheat. You're going to be tested. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 2. Is everybody there? Oh, yes. You be tested. Starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elijah said, "No way. As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went on to Bethel. Now you know that this was testing ground. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said to them, "Yes, I know." Shut up. In other words, he was having enough battle by himself. He was having enough struggle. Listen, man, I'm trying to keep my eyes. I don't want to get caught up in what's going to happen. He wanted to continue to follow through. He couldn't get caught up in the emotion. Oh my God, he's going to leave me. He knew he couldn't get caught up in that. He knew he had to constantly follow him because he was his master. He was the armor bearer. You understand that? He had to keep his eyes on him no matter what. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out, and Elijah, okay, in verse 4. And Elijah said to him, "Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And so he said to them, "Shut up." Hello. Come on, don't you understand that the devil is always trying to discourage you? You are not going to get anywhere and get anything without any resistance coming. Does everybody understand that? Sometimes I'm a little weary when something's too smooth. Something's too smooth here. Am I being set up? Lord, I don't know if this is you or not, but it's too easy. Something's not right. Now, then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As long as the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on what? Dry ground. Glory. Testing number 2. In verse 9, so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, "Okay, what do you want? Ask." Why? Because you first must go through the testing to get the promise. Does everybody understand that? "What may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elijah fainted. No. Elijah said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you what? See me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. In other words, if you maintain steadfast in faith, you'll get it if you endure. But if you are lose sight, you'll be disqualified and you'll miss the promise. Does everybody get it? And Elijah saw it. Then it happened in verse 11 that they continued on and talked. Then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elijah saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. In other words, he knew the promise. I caught it. Yes, I saw it. I caught it. Yeah, but it's mine. Mine. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan, the one they just crossed. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Oh, glory. Welcome to the promised land. He crossed over the dry land, didn't he? Remember, the dry land is a place of what? Testing. It's a place where you actually believe God has left you. You all alone. Nobody's there to help. Nobody understands you. Nobody wants to listen. Woe is me. I must be the only one this happens to. I don't know how much longer I can stand this. Hallelujah. When's this going to end? Oh, Lord, you said you were with me and not against me, but I sure feels like you're against me. I don't know whether I'm fighting you, Lord, or the devil. Which one do I bind? I'm all confused. What happened to the harvest? Well, don't you remember those seeds I planted? Where are they? I don't get this. Come on, don't you remember all the things I did, Lord? I walked up right before you for all these years. Where are you? Would you send me a letter? I need a word. Something. Stand. I am standing. I'm doing everything I can. Die. Oh. Oh, wait a minute. Come on, I'm dead now. What do you mean? I don't know if I can die anymore. I don't know how much death lies left in me. The heavens are brass. And the ground you walk on is slippery. You don't know what the next move is. You don't know anything. And you're trying to calculate a formula. But you just can't calculate it. Glory. Welcome to the next level of death. Turn to Hebrews 10, please. But I thought I did all my deaths. No. Hallelujah. Oh. Lord, how are we going to get this land with no money? Are you trying to figure that out again? Let me see if we sell this and buy this and we do this and do that and we do this and do that. We still won't make it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Praise God. And the devil starts telling you, maybe you're in the wrong church. Maybe you're on the wrong boat. Oh, maybe I'm this. Maybe I wasn't supposed to marry this person. Maybe it was the wrong job. Maybe. You may be in yourself to death. But it's actually promoting yourself. It's bringing life self to self because you're trying to figure it out. And self is fighting. Yes, come on, let me at this. I know what to do. Let's see, maybe if I read chapter 6 through 50, something will happen. Maybe if I fast 4 more months. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Hallelujah. Would you mind reading it with me, please? But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured. You endured. You endured a great what? Struggle with suffering. Bless you. Partly why you were made a spectacle. Both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly why you became companions of those who so treated. For you have compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has what? Great reward. In other words, don't cast away your faith. And what's the reward? The promise. For you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the what? Promise. Oh. You mean the will of God's got nothing to do with how I feel? Nope. But, yeah, that's butt ministry. You the head now, not the tail. Butt ministry is over. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. In other words, go back to the world, go back, run back to self. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Wow. We endure to receive the what? Promise. Go to verse 23. Why we're here. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. So the only way you're going to receive the promise is to be filled with faith, aren't you? That's with faithfulness, isn't it? Go to James 1. James chapter 1. Oh. Is everybody there? James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation. Let me tell you something. The devil waits for you to get into dry land. When Jesus was in the wilderness is when he was tempted. He waits till you're weak. He knows when God is going to test you. He knows, because see, he can see the outstretched hand of the Lord getting ready to bring the promise. He knows you just came off a mountaintop experience. Yes, what revelation, glory. Yeah, I'm going to go out and do this and do that.
Okay, let's test him.
He sees it. You know, it says after 30 days, Jesus was hungry and was what? Tempted by the devil. I don't think that much temptation was in the beginning. He probably waited to the 30th day and threw out every bazooka he could. He was throwing fiery darts now and then, you know. Try to frighten him with snakes and serpents and stuff in the wilderness. But it said after 30 days, Jesus was hungry. And then he was tempted. Does everybody understand that? He waits till you're weak. And that's where we have to make the confession, for when I'm weak, I am strong. Not that the confession will do you any good, but it might help a little. At least it'll bring you self-confidence, right? Oh, Lord, I know you're out there somewhere. That's when you start quoting scriptures, though. Lord, though you slay me, I'll still praise you. Man, I sure don't feel like it, though. Can you give me an address? I'll mail you a letter. Third Heaven 101. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. I said when he's been what? Approved. Oh, when he's been what? Approved. In other words, when he passed the test. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now go to the next verse. Look at this. And let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by the God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Oh. Wait a minute. I thought I was fighting against God. Lord, why are you holding everything back? What's up? What do I have to do to move your arm? Die. Three letters. D-I-E. Die. Ooh. Does everybody understand? Go to verse 2. My brethren, count it all miserable. Oh, count it all what? Joy when you what? Fall into various trials. Why should you be joyful? Because when you fall into various trials, you know God is getting your promise ready. Man, I can't believe the trial I'm in right now. This is crazy. None of this makes sense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't pick up the phone and grumble and complain. Man, do you know what the Lord is doing with me? No. Neither do I. Would somebody please tell me what the Lord is doing with me? Oh, we have to know everything, you know? Yes, but the Bible says the Spirit tells you all things and you know all things. Only what it reveals to you. And there's things he's not going to reveal to you. Because then you won't have faith. You won't trust him. This is not a carnal walk. This is a supernatural walk. Supernatural means beyond natural. Amen? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking no promise. Do you understand that? Lacking no promise. Oh, hallelujah. Lacking no promise. To receive the promises. We want to receive the promise land blessing. Amen? We want to receive the promised land blessing. We must cross over on dry land. In other words, we know that it's a time of testing. Time of testing. Well, man, I just don't get it. This job just, you know, I was promised this and promised that. Hallelujah. You in the wrong promise. What about the promises of God? You know, you keep your promises, he'll keep his. in John 16. I love this one. This is cool. John 16. Are y'all getting this? How many of y'all in that place right now? I've been in it since, let's see, what year was that? Glory to God. John 16 and verse 19. I think that's it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, no, let's go. You know what? Let's John 16, let's start at verse 13. Everybody there? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. How's he going to do that? He's going to send you through some dry land, some testing, and he's going to release a promise. Dry land testing, release a promise. Dry land testing, release a promise. Does everybody get it? And it, depending on how you go through that testing, either will qualify you to receive it or disqualify you. And nobody knows how long that testing is. But in the meantime, you must endure. Amen? You must endure and continue to do what you're supposed to do. In verse 19, I believe. Oh. Okay. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him and said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be what? Sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. So Jesus warned them already that they were going to go through a dry spell. He said, okay, you're going to go through some testing. There's a dry spell going to come. Why? Because I'm leaving you. But I'm not really leaving you. I told you I'm going to be with you. I'll never forsake you. But as soon as I leave, the enemy's going to come and tell you that I'm gone and I'm never going to help you and this and that. And the devil's going to try to disqualify you from receiving my promises. So you're going to be sorrowful. You are going to go through dry spell, dry land. Now, hallelujah. When, again, all of a sudden you'll get a fresh revelation, right? And we go through a new experience. Let me share with you. The dry land, right after your fresh revelation, the dry land experience. Allows you to go through a new experience of death. And it's to further a deeper revelation. Does everybody get it? I mean, you thought you'd just been through every kind of death there was. You thought that you've been through every circumstance. Man, you thought that you knew God and you and him were, pow, yeah, we're on. All of a sudden, he's gone. The heavens are brass, the walls are steel, and the floor is slippery. And you don't know which way, where, or what. And you'd be alone. Oh, great God, where are you? Testing. What's he bringing you through? A new experience of death to further deepen your next revelation. We will go through desolations, emptiness, and even hopelessness. What? What? That's right. Testing number 1010. For what? So you can get the next promise. See, because the next promise is always bringing you to another place. Every time a promise is released, there must be another death. Promises do not come without the testing and a new experience of death. Sometimes it's longer. Amen? Sometimes it's forever. Oh. But the Bible says it's just for a short period of time. Oh, yeah? Don't mark it on your calendar how long you've been dying. Because you ain't dead yet. You'll go through years after years after years until you take that pencil off that calendar. Never give God time. Give him your time, but never give him a time. Because you know what happens? He'll cause it to go longer. Lord, if you don't do this in this amount of time, I'm done. Okay.
Next.
Go to John 20. Are you all right? Are you getting this? If you feel that God is talking to you, he is. If you feel like he's not talking to you, he is. This ain't me. I don't go through this stuff. It's because you're blinded. In John 20, verse 24. Is everybody there? Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, behind the closed doors, shaking, wondering what was what, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut. He knew the combination. Yes, no walls could hold Daddy. And stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your hand, your finger here." Like he didn't realize Jesus was already there. He said, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believe. Now, come on. Now, check this out. These guys just got a visitation from the Lord. They were locked in the room because they were fearful of what the Romans were going to do because they were still on the run. Because they were associated with the way. They didn't know what to do. Jesus walks in the room. Thomas sticks his hand and all, "Yeah, he's real." And these guys are all bowing down worshiping the Lord. All right? The Lord leaves. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 21 and verse 1. And it says, "Now after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together." Wow. So Jesus showed himself again to them at the sea, right? Now, great revelation, right? You think, man, we're going out and telling everybody. What does Peter do? He says, "Man, let's go fishing." Come on, they just had two visitations from the Lord, mountaintop experiences. Peter said, who wants to go fishing? Wait a minute, Pete. Didn't we just have a visitation from the Lord? Yeah. You want to go fishing? And they said to him, we'll go. We are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And at that night, they caught nothing. Wow. From a mountaintop experience, right in to dry land and testing. Does everybody understand that? Come on, they just had two visitations from the Lord and Peter wants to go fishing. What do you want to do? Drop everything off. Forget it all. Go right back to the things he was accustomed to doing in the carnal living. Because that's what brought him fulfillment, was going fishing. They were all fishermen. Does everybody get it? Oh. Whoa. See, in this and through this testing time, and this is where many people fall and go back. They go back to what gives them comfort. But it's nothing but a lie. Peter went back to fishing and the rest of them followed him. Yeah, let's go. And they fished all night long and didn't catch a stinking thing. Because it wasn't God's will. He didn't tell them to go fishing, did he? Oh, hallelujah. But we have a tendency to come off of these mountaintop experiences and revelations and think that the revelation has approved us. And it hasn't. Does everybody get it? Revelations do not approve you. Testing approves you. Proverbs 13. Oh, to God be the glory. Proverbs 13. Testing before the promise. Glory to God. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Go ahead. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a foundation of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Let me share with you something. There are individuals sometimes when you have expectations that are not fulfilled, it produces deferred hope if you're not walking in faith. But Lord, I was expecting you to do this. I stepped out in faith. I expected this, but it didn't happen. The enemy is going to come in and try and defer your hope, which is disqualify you. Because you're hoping in the expectation. High expectations bring tremendous downfalls. I try not to utilize the emotional expectation. Because see, expectation is an emotion. It deals in the soulish. That's why people are relying on people and expecting them to do certain things, and they're not. And what happens to them, it defers their hope and brings discouragement to them. Then the enemy comes in with a great wave and start pushing them all around. Tell them, this is the wrong person you married. This is the wrong job you got. Man, God's left you. You know, and then that person turns around and goes back to comfort of the world. Because there is no faith manifesting. Does everybody understand that? Deferred hope is a lack of faith. What has he just done? He stole your faith. That's the whole purpose of it. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. When we lose sight of his love, we turn to self. Because the devil always tells you God is holding something back and he don't love you no more. Because if he did, he wouldn't allow you to go through this
testing.
But see, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, we don't realize that he's just trying to get a promise to us. Amen? See, so when people lose sight of the love of God, they turn to self. And hope deferred strikes when we allow a delay of God's promise to bring discouragement. Does everybody get it? I'll repeat this again. Hope deferred strikes when we allow the promise of God, when we allow delay to bring discouragement. So when the promise is delayed, we allow discouragement to come in, don't we? And what that does is causes hope deferred. And it steals your faith. And it causes you to go to self. And whatever is associated with self for fulfillment and reward, we go back to it. If you're not walking in faith. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, we have a tendency to, well, if this doesn't happen, I have this. Well, if that doesn't happen, I have this. I can always fall back on. That's what the people of the world do. They fall back on another relationship. Let's see, I take out my black book. If such and such won't work out, then I can always fall back on such and such. You know, they always got plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. But it's the wrong G. Hallelujah. Numbers 20. Praise God. Now is God speaking to you? Again, they were out in the wilderness. And in verse 7, and it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod before the Lord, and he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Ooh. Moses was in the flesh, man. Moses got in the flesh. You rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. But see, flesh caused him to do the wrong thing. His anger, he got in the flesh. Remember, the Lord said, speak to the rock. That was a representation of the new covenant, because the new covenant was going to be the ministry of the Spirit. The old covenant was a ministry of laws, ordinances. So this was the second time. The first time already, he struck the rock and water came out. This time the Lord said, speak to the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because the devil got him sidetracked. Things weren't going right. High expectations. Boom, big downfalls. He said, that's it. I can't take this any longer. Wonder who told him that. He was discouraged, wasn't he? Called them rebels. Hallelujah. In verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Wow. What, because he struck the rock and didn't speak to it? Yes. Because he was disobedient. Whoa. So the whole assembly didn't go into the promised land? That's absolutely correct. They grumbled and complained out there the whole time. Does everybody see it? So they did not get into the promised land, did they? Because why? They did not believe. What happened? If we don't stand in faith, we miss the promise. We become disqualified to receive it. Remember, we do not obtain the promise without passing the test. He failed the test, didn't he? Does everybody get it? Go to Ephesians 1. Glory to God. We're almost done. Hang tough. Die. You're entering a new dimensional experience of death. Everybody says amen. Tomorrow, let's see what you say. Oh, great God, where are you? Everybody be calling up. Man, did you... Would you pray for me? Everybody calling everybody else. Man, we need to pray. Amen, you need to pray. And don't stop. Ephesians 1. In verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, he have predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Well, that ought to qualify you enough just there, isn't it? Go to verse 11. It says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So we were predestined, weren't we? Well, let me tell you, you were predestined to die. You were predestined to suffer. And the Bible says that you and I were predestined to be conformed into his image and likeness. Welcome to the house of death. Hello? So you will be tested to receive the promise. Does everybody understand that? Oh man, I don't know if I like this. No one says you have to like it. In fact, liking it or disliking it has nothing to do with it. That's about enduring. Amen? That's about enduring. Ephesians 4, why we're here. In verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't give place to him. He'll eat you up. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. In other words, make no place for the devil. Come out from among the world. Amen. So as you're going through your trial, as you're going through your testing, know that there is a promise getting ready to come to you. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're not done yet, almost, I said. 1 Peter 5. Praise God. 1 Pete 5:5. And we'll start at 6. That's cool. 1 Pete 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. In other words, after you've gone through the testing. He said, humble yourself as you're going through the testing. Eat a lot of humble pie. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Just keep throwing it back on him. Lord, this testing. Where are you? Well, I'm casting that care on you. Who told me that? Oh, cast down that thought, imagination. Don't go there. It isn't going to do you any good. Don't try to figure it out. Don't lean on your own understanding. Know that the promise is coming. But I don't feel his presence. Praise God. You are his presence. It's amazing, you know. You haven't felt his presence all, you know, in days. The next thing you walk into somewhere and somebody says, man, I feel the presence of God on you. Praise God. I haven't felt it for a month. You mind putting that in a bottle so I can drink some? Everybody else felt it but you, right? In verse 8, it says, be what? Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Glory to God. James 5. James 5. And verse 7. Would you all read it with me? James 5, verse 7. Glory to God. Whew. Count it all joy. Would you read it? Therefore what? Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives early and later rain. I want you to understand something. You can sow faith. Do you know that you're the one that sows faith? Yes. You are sowing the seed of faith. You're sowing faith. Every time you endure, you're sowing faith. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. Brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Woohoo! Look what Job went through. And seeing the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Does everybody understand that? Go to Job 42. The employment section. Job 42. This book's got everything. Job 42, in verse 10. Now, Job went through. He went through. I mean, he went through testing. Whew. The Lord set him up. Amen? But the Lord sent Job up to get to Satan. Because what Satan, the way God attacks Satan is by you being faithful. Satan hates it. Because the Lord said to Satan, have you checked out my servant Job? When Job heard that, he ran. Man, don't call me. And then Satan said to the Lord, oh, you put a hedge of protection around him. See, Job knew the right things to do. He knew that the sacrifices of the cattle, the goats and so forth, and sheep that he had, he was offering to the Lord on a daily basis because he knew the blood. The Father would acknowledge the blood. So the first thing the Lord removed from Job, he said, okay, Satan, go take all of his livestock. Because without the livestock, Satan couldn't touch him without sacrifices. Everybody understand that? But he said, the Lord said something to Satan powerful. He says, he's an upright man. He's an upright man. And I know he won't come against me. He'll trust me. And Job once lost his family, lost everything. Boils, sickness, you name it. Whatever didn't happen to Job didn't happen to anybody. Everything happened to Job. And in verse 10, it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. When he what? See, once you get your eyes off yourself, because you know somebody else is going through what you're going through. Oh, Lord, please help them get through. See, Job got his eyes off of himself and began to pray for somebody else in the same circumstance. When the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Does everybody get it? Then all of his brothers and his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him, and comforted him for all of his adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver, each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Man, that man was blessed because he passed the test. 7 things I want you to look at. This is not a formula. Number one, be sure you're on the right path. In other words, it's important to fellowship so that you know you're on the right path. When people are out of fellowship, it's difficult for them. They begin to chase one thing and another and go to here, to go to there, whatever. Does everybody understand that? They begin to sense or led by a feeling. Well, I feel God is leading me to do that. I feel God is leading me to do that. Remember, God don't interrupt himself. Amen? And it produces an independent spirit. And the devil loves that. So, make sure that you are on the right path. The second thing, remember you are predestined to win the battle over self by standing in faith. You are predestined to win the battle over self by standing on faith. Number one, be sure you're on the right path, and that's established by fellowship. Number 2, remember you are predestined to win the battle over self by standing in faith. Has everybody got it? Number 3, know God loves you and won't test you beyond what you can handle. Anything that's beyond what you can handle ain't God. Somebody get it? That's the devil. Know that God loves you and he won't test you beyond what you can handle. And when it goes beyond what you can handle, it means you've opened the door to the devil. You've made place to him somewhere. You've come in agreement with him. Number 4, maintain a grateful and thankful attitude. No matter what's going on. Thank you, Lord. I know this is good because the Bible says all things will work to the good, right? Thank you, Lord. I know this is going to work to the good. I know I made a stupid mistake. I'm sorry. I repent. I'm going forward. I thank you, Lord, that this is going to work to the good. Amen? So you can't stay caught up in your circumstance. Your circumstance is there to cause you to be conformed in the image of Christ. And how does that happen? By you responding according to the way Christ does. Number 5, remember discouragement is of the devil. We have a tendency to lose sight of that. Discouragement is of the devil. Number 6, are you all right? Keep going no matter what. No matter what, just keep going. Just keep trucking. Number 7, don't despise the waiting. The promise is too big to neglect. Has everybody got it? Do I need to repeat them? And I want to close with this. We take shape as God causes circumstances in our lives to come into alignment with His promises. Does everybody understand that? All right. We take shape, in other words, we are being conformed in the image of Christ, as God causes circumstances. He'll cause circumstances in your life to come in alignment with His promises. He will cause circumstances in your life to come in alignment with His promises. In other words, we take shape as God causes circumstances in our lives to come into the alignment of His promises. So we walk in prophetic fulfillment. So we walk in the prophetic fulfillment. Glory. Everybody all right? Okay. Testing before the promise. Welcome to third dimensional death. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we repent for running from those circumstances that You have caused in our life to be conformed more into Your image and likeness and to be aligned with Your promises. Lord, we desire to walk in the prophetic fulfillment that You predestined for each and every one. Help us to put a guard over our mouth, our tongues, our mind, and our heart, and our emotions, so we don't grumble, become discouraged, neglect, blame You for not getting those things that we so ask for. But help us to rely on You, Lord. Trust in You, wait on You, and surrender to You, that we may be shaped, conformed into Your image and likeness and the character of Christ, the world will see in each and every one. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory.